person do outside of a Sunday? Well, sometimes you won't know because there are some aspects of what I do which involve meeting with individuals that are outside of the church community, or it's a very kind of discreet kind of thing. But there's other times when I seem to be following hard on the heels of many of you. And so I go to visit somebody and thinking that I'm better go extend the love of the church to this individual, to discover that actually loads of other people have already been there before me, and there are others going there after me. So, for example, Alan, one of our seniors, has been unwell at the moment following treatment, and a number of people have been out to see him, and it's a real kind of a blessing to see so many people showing love to him, whether it's kind of Beryl, Brian, I think Sue and Martin have been out, Hazel's been out, and various others have been too. We've got Margaret, who's in hospital at the moment and has been in for about 3 weeks now. And again, so many people being out to see her, to bless her and encourage her. And to me, that's such an encouragement to see that actually church is not simply what we sit on in terms of in a building on wooden rows, but church is a community of people where we extend the love of Christ to one another. We express that in very practical ways, and we bless one another, and we pray for each other, we care for one another, we visit the sick and seek to bring spiritual healing and wholeness to them too. We do that not because we are social workers, not even because we are all necessarily nice, because to be honest, we aren't all, but because we are all part of the body of Christ. And this is what Christian fellowship and Christian community is all about. So we've been looking at our series called One Another during this month. Let's have a look at this. It's going to go that way. There we go. So immediately then, you who are New Testament Greek scholars, you're kind of well in on this one here. We've got our Greek New Testament words. So one another. For us English speakers, we talk about one and another as being two separate words that we join together to make this phrase one another. But in New Testament Greek, the word allelon, which is this word up here, is one word. There is one specific word that is purely and only used in the New Testament to describe this one another community. It's not two random words just happen to be joined together. It was a really intentional idea that there is one specific thing, a one another people that we are called to be. And so as you read the New Testament, there are about 100 different references to this one another word. About 59 or so of them are very specific actions that we as Christ followers I choose to be and to do. So things like love one another, show hospitality to one another, care for one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, submit to one another. And so the list goes on. And what we're going to do this morning is wrap up our series by thinking, what does it mean to be a one another people? We began our series with Karis and Liz outlining what it means to greet one another with a holy fist bump. We then went on to look at how we serve one another, and then also in terms of how we encourage one another too. But here, we're going to think about the more community side of things. And Paul says this at the beginning of our reading in Colossians. In essence, he says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, then act like it. If you're serious about this belief in God that you have, then live it. Make it part of your lifestyle. Make it part of your DNA. Live out what you see Christ doing. So as you read the Gospels, what you see Christ doing, make that your ambition to do the same. Act like Christ. And that's what all of us together are called to be and to do. Now, of course, it's not always easy to live out this kind of one another lifestyle, because the problem is there are people like me and there are others around who perhaps sometimes grate on us. And so there will be times when actually it's really easy to show love and compassion and prayer and encouragement for others. But there are other times when actually we've got to really kind of grit our teeth and think, oh no, gosh, I've really got to make this a decision of the heart. And so here we have my college photo from Birmingham Bible Institute back in the 1980s. Darren led our higher prayer night the other night, and he led it superbly, by the way. He also has a history that kind of drew in BBI, Birmingham Bible Institute. But anyway, this is my college photo here, and there is one individual that discretion has been removed because his name is Andrew, and I wouldn't want anybody to know his name is Andrew. And so at college, when we were put together, we were all strangers. We were all thrown together, and as people had never met one another, and suddenly we were in these shared rooms, and there'd be four of us per room. And I had four guys, including Andrew, as my kind of roommates for that kind of year. And on the first day, it's a bit awkward. You're kind of introducing each other, where you're from and what's brought you here. And then you had the first night when you've gone to sleep, and you wake up in the morning thinking, right, we're going to start this college life together, and it's going to be beautiful. You know, I'm at a Bible college. I'm going to feel spiritual and alive and alert and close to God and all those kind of beautiful spiritual kind of thoughts. And I woke up with, be kind to your fine feathered friend, for a duck may be somebody's mother. And this guy was standing at the foot of my bed, and that is what he sang. Bearing in mind, the previous day was the first time in my life I had ever met him, and he's now serenading me at the foot of my bed. You also need to know about Bible College that it was a little austere as a regime, so we were woken up at 6:30 because house prayers were at 6:50, because chores were at 7:30, because breakfast was at 8:00, followed by further chores, chapel was at 9:00, our lectures went 9:30 till 12:30, we had 30 minutes of free time, yay, followed by lunch, followed by afternoon chores for about 3 hours, or mission or street evangelism teams. We had tea, we then had supervised study where tutors came round to make sure you were at your desk physically to make sure you were studying between the hours of 6:30 and 9:00, free time or missionary prayer meeting time from 9 till 10. You had to be in by 10:15, the doors were locked at 10:30, lights out at 10:30. Whoa-hey. But on a Friday and Saturday, oh yes, in the city of Birmingham, where there is life and there is vitality, we got to stay up a whole 30 minutes extra on Friday and Saturday nights. Why? So that's what Bible College was like back in the 80s. The next morning, I woke up again to the same, be kind to your fine feathered friend, for a duck may be somebody's mother. Do you know, he pretty much did that every morning for a year. He wouldn't say anything. He never explained why he sang the song. He didn't try and justify it. He just did it. Every single morning. And there's one or two times you think, oh, this is a bit weird. Then it became a bit of a, oh, this is a bit eccentric, this is funny. And actually, it starts to grate after a while. This person really is starting to get under my skin. Is he really a Christian? I mean, has Christ really got a hold of him? I wish Christ would get a hold of him a bit rougher, preferably by the neck. And sometimes when it becomes the one another people, it's easy to do the one another loving, encouraging blessing for those that we like and we get on with. They look like us. They sound like us. They laugh at our jokes. They think we're funny and cool. And we get fed by that. And we like that. But actually, the one another people comes as much when actually we don't get on with people. And let's be honest, you are not in a church of people where you all like each other. You are not necessarily in a church where you like everybody or where everybody likes you. That's not what brought us here. We're not here because we all support Villa or we all support the Blues or we've all got this or that in common. We're here because we're a bunch of random people that Christ has got hold of from all sorts of traditions and ages and places and histories and lifestyles and brought us together. And by the grace of God, he's doing something in us and through us. Wow, because it's all about him, Christ. It's not about how nice I am. It's not about how holy I try and pretend to be. It's all about how good Christ is and what he has done in my life and what he's doing in your life and your life and definitely your life. And oh yes, yours too. The one another people. And so in our reading from Colossians, Paul starts off by grouping a number of things which we might say are negatives, that they're kind of don't do's, do not do this, before he then goes on to bring out some positives. So of the 59 or so one another's, the vast majority are positive, but there are some that we are called to avoid. Things like don't lie to one another. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Don't lie to one another. Somebody came to me this morning and came up to me and said, how are you doing? And immediately I heard myself saying one thing, well, actually, it was a bit of a lie, to be honest. It was a bit of a lie because it wasn't truthful. And when somebody says to you, how are you doing? Sometimes the default response is, oh, everything's fine, thank you very much. It's almost like that's what you're supposed to do in a social etiquette kind of environment, rather than actually, well, what do you want to know? Do you really want to know how I'm doing? Do you really want to know what's going on in my life at the moment? And sometimes, maybe we're called to actually speak a word of truth to one another, to be a bit more honest, open, vulnerable with each other about how we're doing. So there's a one another that says, don't lie to one another. Don't slander to one another. Don't speak ill of each other. Don't grumble against one another. Oh my goodness, have we got opportunities to grumble against one another? They didn't put the cups away. They didn't lock the cupboard. They didn't set the room up in the way that I would have done it. They didn't welcome in the way that I would have wanted to be welcomed. The song choices weren't my kind of choices. They aren't my kind of songs. All those kind of, we have got heaps of opportunities to grumble against one another. But Paul is really clear. Don't grumble against one another. Later on, he even says, don't bite or devour. Don't consume one another. What an image that is. But sometimes by our kind of cattiness, we end up devouring one another, biting one another, taking chunks out of one another. No. That's not the way the one another people live. I had to look up a word here. Don't be haughty with one another. It's a really interesting word. What it means is basically don't look down, don't be condescending on others. Don't kind of puff yourself up of being so high and mighty that you're the bee's knees and they don't know what they're doing. In other words, have a bit more humility about yourself. I need to be, we need to be those one another people. Don't go back to your old clothes. Have you ever thought about what you used to wear 10, 20, 30, 40, however many years back you go? Thinking about the fashions that you wore then and thinking how would you look if you kind of got those old clothes out again? Going back to my barber college days. That's me. Those are my clothes then in the 80s, or at least the ones I wore at barber college. There are others. Can you imagine now if I was to dig out those kind of clothes again and try and put them back on again? Well, first of all, they're not going to fit in the way that then. I was like an absolute rake then, but at that point, so much for being well-fed on barber college food. So if I tried to put them on now, I ain't going to fit into them. But equally, the styles aren't going to work. They kind of worked then, but they don't kind of work so well now. They kind of fitted in at that particular moment in my history, but now will be very different. And Paul says this, don't put on your old clothes. He's like this. It's like he's saying, it's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. In other words, put off your old self and don't go back to it. You've left it behind. You are now in Christ Jesus. You had old ways that might have been catty and it might have been a bit bitchy and it might have been this, that, and the others, but you've taken them off because you are now in Christ. And when you became in Christ, you put off your old self, your old clothes, you got rid of them, and you put on new garments. New garments of praise, new garments of purity and holiness and in humility. Don't then go back rummaging through your old ways, your old way of being, and think, well, perhaps I'll go back to that, how I used to be before I became a Christ follower. Paul says, no, put it away, get rid of it, burn it. It's history, it's gone. You don't need it any longer. Instead, he says this, and it comes up again and again in the New Testament. I've only put one reference here, but there's heaps of them. Love one another. Love one another. Through your actions, through your words, through your generous attitude, love one another. Bear with one another. And that's not about stripping off or anything. That's about being accepting one another. Recognizing that people are who they are. Forgive one another when they hurt you. And you will. You haven't got to be around the church community for too long before you realize that somebody's going to say something that offends you. Somebody's going to say something that wouldn't be quite the way that you would have said it, or that's been a little bit sharp. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. No ifs, no buts. No holding on to old hurts and pasts. No kind of keeping on, well, that person offended me back 20 years ago and I've never forgiven them since. No. Forgive as Christ forgave you. We are a one another people. We forgive one another. The good news is that that means that others are forgiving you too. When you say something unthoughtful or you hurt somebody, possibly without even realizing it. Pray for one another. We all need it. We all need it. People are going through all sorts of different struggles and things going on in their lives. Pray for each other. Take the opportunity. Yes, in your own private devotions, but maybe also just get alongside somebody. Send them a note. Send them a text. Send them a social media, Facebook message or whatever, just to let you know I'm praying for you. Praying blessing on you. Thank you. And I'm praying for you right now. Here's a challenging one. Confess your sins to one another. Wow. Your sins. Because we're all messed up. That's why Jesus says, don't just look at the speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye when you've got a whole log in your own. We've all got stuff. We have all got stuff that we don't quite get right. We all carry it. So pray for each other. Support and tolerate one another. Yes, and confess your sins, your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities to one another. Because we are called to be a one another people. If you notice in the scriptures how much there is of plurality, to be a follower of Christ is hardly ever described as being an individual pursuit. It's always described in the context of community. The body of Christ, the people of God, the family of God, the household of God, the army of God, the vine and lots of branches, and so it goes on and on. To be a follower of Christ is to be part of a community. We don't do this as a solo sport. We do this with one another, recognizing each other's faults, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, but also the gift of God in each other. We are called to be a one another people. We are not, however, called to be a club. We are not a club at all. We're not a secret society. We're not anything like the Freemasons, God forbid, or anything like that. We are a community of people who are open and transparent before our Christ, joined together by Him, not by our shared football love or whatever else it might be. And then to end with this. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Notice this, what Paul does not say is actually there's no differences between us, we're all the same. He's not doing some kind of whitewash thing. He's not doing something that says basically there's no kind of way of describing each other. That's not what he's saying. He's honoring and recognizing the differences within people. But he's saying that ultimately our identity is found, our top identity is found in Christ Jesus. As Christ followers, that's what ultimately unites us. And so, yes, we are people of different age groups. We're from different places, people of color, all sorts of different kind of things that we can use to identify who we are. But ultimately, we are defined because we are in Christ Jesus. And when we are in Christ Jesus, the diversity does not go away, God forbid. We don't want it to. But it becomes then a gift, and we recognize that actually we are in Christ, bringing different perspectives of who Christ is. So yes, we say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Christ. But actually there are so, so many ways to Christ. So many ways to Christ. And different experiences and traditions, cultures, languages, and all sorts, all help us see a different aspect of Christ, who is the one way to the Father. We need each other. We are a one another people. Bless one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Support one another. Care for one another. Practice hospitality with one another. Bear with one another. Confess your sins to one another. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then at the end of which, we're going to take some time to respond in worship. And we're just going to create some space in worship. And it may be that actually you're having a week where you would really value